Okay, everybody. Welcome. It is the 13th of October, which I'm hoping is going to be lucky for all of us. I'm Sass Petherick. I'm so glad you're here. Hopefully you're in the right place. This is a coaching masterclass all about the Bermuda Triangle of self-doubt, how it's impacting you, your clients, and your coaching, which is a bit of a mouthful, I know. But basically, we wanted to, Sean and I have been chatting about all of this, but basically, we just wanted to look at how can we help coaches who are experiencing self-doubt, all the things that we're seeing in people's practices, on social media, all of that. So this is a workshop designed to support you and help you, and it's going to be super fun, super interactive. I love learning stuff, but what I really love is being able to apply that learning straight away. So this is going to be like a real invitation to do new things, try new things out, experiment. And also that, you know that you're part of a group of coaches. I think we had just over 130 people sign up for this workshop. I want to give us all a way to kind of cheer each other on as we take some fun actions in our businesses and in our practices, our client work. And there's going to be some prizes for participation. So we're going to do this fun thing. And I have five of my favorite coaching books on offer, which I'll be posting out to five lucky people for participation. So this will be a fun old morning. So relax and enjoy. Okay, so what we're going to cover today is a bit more about self-doubt, like what the hell is actually happening when you're experiencing self-doubt. We're going to talk about this concept of the Bermuda Triangle, which is where we kind of doubt either ourselves, our clients, or our coaching, and we kind of get a bit stuck there as coaches. So we're going to talk about that, and we're talk about how we get stuck there, but also how we escape it, how you get out of that sense of being a bit stuck. I'm going to give you an approach that is designed to help you activate your self-trust and really play with that in a way that kind of brings it to life for you. So there'll be some homework for you to test it out. I'm a big fan of taking this stuff and seeing what happens out there in the world. And we're going to have this little project that runs over the next week where you're going to just take some new actions. We've got this little hashtag, self-belief in action, and there'll be prizes that come along with that. And it's just for shits and giggles. Like, please don't take this like crazily seriously. I just want to give you a real like invitation to try some stuff out that feels good and fun to you. Okay. So for those of you who don't know me, and this might be the first time we've met, I know for some of us we know each other very well, and I'm so happy to see you here. My name's Sass Petherick. I am a coach. I'm a self-belief coach. I'm kind of obsessed with helping people make sense of and heal their self-doubt and grow self-belief. And I have been a coach for about 10 years. I've got an MA in developmental psychology and coaching, and my dissertation was a really deep study of self-doubt, so it kind of became my obsession. What I found when I first started coaching was that self-doubt was always really present for me, especially on the running the business side of things. So I've been working with hundreds of clients over the years, supporting clients with self-doubt and testing and refining like what works. So taking my research findings from my master's and really applying that to client work. And what I found was that there isn't a lot of stuff that actually works in a deep way with clients. Like a lot of coaching is aimed at kind of avoiding self-doubt or infantilizing it. And what I wanted to do was actually apply what I found in my research, which is that self-doubt's totally understandable and part of our humanity. And actually, when we make friends with it and heal it, it has such a profound impact on what we are able to do, what we believe we're capable of. And so the way I work with clients is two ways that I work with people. Starfleet School, which is going to open next year, which is working with muggles around their experience of self-doubt. And I also run the Self-Belief Coaching Academy, which I have some graduates here. And this is a six-month program for practitioners like yourself who want to work deeply with clients around their self-doubt. So it's a trauma-informed ICF-accredited program. We've had over 50 coaches go through that. And what the graduates say is that it profoundly impacts their self-doubt. And so it is such a source of joy for me right now to see how those coaches are taking this work and applying it in their own practices. So this masterclass is a little taste of the kind of thing that we do in the Self-Belief Coaching Academy. And even if we never work together, I just want you to know that this work is for you. Like, I sort of feel like we're colleagues in this together. I want to provide a really value-packed 90 minutes for you. So this is all gratis and it's offered with deep love. And if you are interested in joining the Academy, there are still places and I'm super happy to have a conversation with you about it. That's me. One of the things that I just want to offer, I'm just going to stop the share there for a second. Like, truly, truly, coaching saved my life. Like 10 years ago, I was a management consultant in the financial sector and I wore a lot of suits and I drank my feelings. And I had all the trappings of quite a successful life and I was bloody miserable. And healing my self-doubt, like really understanding the root causes of it and learning how to take responsibility for myself, to really respect myself, it changed everything. So I see part of my work is about normalizing the experience of self-doubt. It's absolutely intrinsic to our humanity. Having it doesn't mean anything's gone wrong. So this whole workshop is really designed to help you understand why it's here, but also how you can interrupt it. Because when self-doubt's running our businesses and is really present in our client work, it can be really debilitating. What I think happens to us though is we find coaching and it feels like we've come home in some way. Like it feels like, oh my God, this is the work I was meant to do. Lots of people describe coaching as feeling like a calling. So you're doing the work you love and you're feeling full of self-doubt. It's coming up all over the place. And the question that coaches will say to me all the time is like, what the hell is happening? Like, why am I holding myself back from something that I really love? And I think one of the things that we just need to really hold is that growing a business, while you're learning the craft of coaching, these are both really complex tasks and they're catnip for self-doubt, right? Most coach training doesn't prepare us for our own doubts. And because most of us work alone and we're not regulated or supervised, we kind of feel a bit like it's all on us. Because of the complexity and the nuances of our work, I think it makes complete sense that we experience self-doubt. So part of this work is really about normalizing your experience, right? Nothing's gone wrong. What I'd love to know as we start is how your self-doubt is actually showing up. So I wonder if you can, like, please feel free to share in the chat, like, where is your self-doubt showing up for you right now? Is it in creating your offers, in marketing, selling? Do you find it's coming up during coaching sessions where you feel like, I don't know what to ask, I don't know where to take this, I don't know really how to help my client? Is it about pricing your work, knowing who you want to work with, the tech and the system stuff? Maybe you're bringing on team members or you're going through a bit of a growth spurt. Like, please share in the chat where your self-doubt is showing up. It's going to be super helpful if you've got an example to kind of look at as we go through looking at how your self-doubt shows up and what's going on. Amazing. Thank you, everybody. Wow. Okay, cool. So comparing to other coaches, setting up the business, pricing, the selling, the marketing, the tech, et cetera, I love it. Where to turn during a session, clarifying the offering. Oh, there's, yeah. See, like, we're so in this together. Yeah. Believing you can sell out a year-long offer, selling myself. Okay. So if you're ever doubting yourself, we're going to definitely share the chat with everybody. Like, just know you're not alone in this. Like, this is totally understandable. It's a shared experience. Everyone here is in it with you. So this is great. So what I want you to hold in your, maybe on your piece of paper in front of you, is hold this experience for you, because I want to go through and show you, like, what is actually happening for you when you're experiencing self-doubt. So this is a concept I've developed called the self-doubt loop. And all we're doing here is just kind of slowing down the experience of self-doubt. Because I don't know about you, but for me, it kind of comes up and then I just kind of feel like I can't do anything. I sort of go into a bit of freeze mode. But I want to share with you what's going on at each step, just so you can see what's happening and why. And this is going to really help you make sense of your experience. So your examples of your own self-doubt is going to be super helpful to look at how this is happening. Okay, so I love this. I even had self-doubt on the colors for my logo. Sister, I am with you. Totally understand that, having just gone through a bit of a rebrand. Yeah, and it's every little thing, right? It's every little thing. Yeah. Okay, so the first step is contemplate. So we enter the loop in the moment before you're about to take some action. Okay, so before you take any action, are you feeling any vulnerability, right? It might be, and it really is, choosing the colors for your logo, posting on Instagram, sending an email, reminding a client to pay before the next session, right? It really doesn't matter what the task is, but are you feeling any vulnerability? If the answer is nope, then you can proceed with your task and enjoy your day, right? Everything is golden. If the answer is yes, your self-doubt's likely to get activated and your day, as we know, might be ruined, right? Then you're in this kind of, get stuck in the loop. So it's good to know, right? It's the vulnerability. It's that feeling of sensitivity to that action that is actually getting our self-doubt activated. So we're coming back to the loop and we're going around the loop. So from contemplating a task, we experience an alarm, right? So this is basically understanding that self-doubt is an inbuilt protection mechanism, right? Self-doubt will find 100 different ways to say, don't do that, you might hurt yourself. Don't choose your font colors, because what if it's wrong and you get judged, right? What else have we got in here? Don't sell your stuff, because what if no one buys, right? It's all about holding you back. Don't do that, you might hurt yourself. Now, I think it's keeping us safe from seven big risks, right? So self-doubt is there to keep us safe from rejection, conflict, success, judgment, failure, complexity, or disappointment. And even as I'm saying those risks out loud, as you are reading them on screen, you might feel yourself responding. Maybe in your body, you feel a little bit like, oh yeah, judgment, oh, that gets me right in the bellies, right? Wherever you're feeling that, whenever you notice yourself sort of quite sensitive to a particular risk, that's likely to be the thing that activates your self-doubt. So this is why it can feel illogical, disproportionate, and overwhelming. Right, because you're just trying to send an email or post Insta or choose your font colors, right? But if you suspect there is a chance of being judged and you have some sensitivity to judgment, just for example, your self-doubt's going to be activated, right? And the thing to remember is that it can't predict the likelihood of a risk occurring or the impact of it, right? So even if self-doubt's saying, don't do that, you'll get judged, that's not a true thing. It's just worried about that happening. Okay, so it can't predict the likelihood or the impact. Making sense? Yeah. Okay, so then we get to the alarm being raised and the discomfort kicks in. So the thing about the discomfort is this is how our bodies are basically saying we need to stop. It holds us back. Who is this it that can't predict the impact and likelihood? This is self-doubt, right? So let's characterize self-doubt as this protective mechanism. Okay. So self-doubt is saying, don't do that, you might hurt yourself, but it doesn't know that you're going to hurt yourself. It doesn't know what the impact is going to be. But we're going to experience some kind of alarm because there is that sensitivity to the risk of something happening. And the way that this tends to show up for people is that you might experience an inner voice, like someone, a voice in your head actually saying, don't do that. You might experience some emotions that feel a bit difficult, maybe some anxiety or some sadness, some guiltiness. If you're that inner voice is saying, you know, don't send the email, using our example, don't post on Instagram, you might feel that anxiety or guilt or sadness. Body sensations are super common, often feel like a heaviness or a constriction. You might have memories of the past, right? Really common. Maybe you had experiences of being judged or ignored or feeling like your requests were inconvenient for others. Now, anything that's related to the current risk might pop up for you. And imagined predictions of the future, right? The worst case scenario kind of fortune telling is super common, right? So if you've got that thing where your mind just kind of goes off and you've gone from, I'm going to send an email to my client requesting them to pay before their next session, and that takes you down the rabbit hole to, I'm living under a bridge and I smell of cat wee. Right? That can happen quite quickly when our self-doubt is in charge. And it just feels like, what is even going on here? That I'm a smart person and this is running things, right? So what happens because of that discomfort is that we experience some resistance, right? So you're about to send an email, just reminding a client to pay before the next session. Your self-doubt's activated because there's a chance of some judgment. This is a risk you're sensitive to. You're feeling excluded, confused, sad. You're remembering past experiences of being left out. There might be a worst case scenario where you're voted off coaching island, right? So how are you feeling about doing the task, right? Sending the email. Everything in you is saying, don't do that, you'll hurt yourself. It happens very, very fast. But what happens is we understandably resist taking that action. And what I found is that there are six key ways that we resist. The procrastination, where you find you have 86 other emails to send first. And often procrastination feels really productive, but it's never about the task that you find risky. Right? So you can kind of give yourself some comfort with procrastination often. Perfectionism is maybe when you're spending hours laboring over the exact right words to use in this email and finding fault with every way you phrase it and all of that. And perfectionism is about trying to avoid taking the actual action. We're always finding fault with it, either with the task or with ourselves. Proving yourself is about working really hard to get that validation from other people. So if this is a favorite way of resisting action, you might be doing lots of other things to get validation from other clients or from other people in your world, just to kind of feel that sense of, oh no, it's okay, I can take some comfort here. Passive behaviors is when we move out of creation and into consumption, right? So anything you're consuming, scrolling, shopping, consuming some Doritos on the sofa while you're consuming some Netflix, it's when you're finding that you're doing a lot of things, consuming a lot of things from others, but you still haven't sent the email. Paralysis is this kind of tactic of nobody move, nobody gets hurt, So it can also look a bit like brain fog, where you convince yourself, I've no idea what to say in this email. And the final P is pleasing others or placating other people. So you might kind of, you know, send an email that has a whole lot of stuff in the, at the start of it around how much you're enjoying working with the client and all of this stuff. And it's all about kind of dancing around the issue and trying to kind of connect and keep that other person happy. And you're, it's really like a bid for connection. What happens when we're placating others is that we tend to abandon our own needs in order to take care of someone else's. A total party. Do you recognize yourself in this, right? You're sort of seeing the tactic here. Serena's giving me a thumbs up. You might recognize just the kind of resistance behaviors that just feel really good to you. These are kind of shadow comforts, right? You kind of know they're not great. They're certainly not taking you towards completing the task, but they offer some comfort in some way. And this brings us to the last step in the loop, which is the pattern. Right? And this is where your favorite forms of resistance become a pattern. Right? And so what that can sort of end up sounding like is when I sense there is a risk of judgment, I tend to watch Netflix to keep myself safe. What happens is, whatever this looks like for you, is that it can become a kind of fixed belief about who you are and what you're capable of. I never finish things. I never actually do the thing I want to do. I can't have boundaries in my business. I can't make requests of clients. I'm the sort of person who is a people pleaser, right? And so over time, we can become really identified with these patterns of resistance. And it kind of gets a bit entwined in our identity. We just think that's who we really are. But this isn't like your blood type, right? All we're doing is just believing our self-doubt. Does that kind of make sense? Like that's why you've got the story going on. And it's so easy to get stuck in there, right? It's so easy to think, oh, that's who I am. I can't market anything. I can't sell a year-long program. I can't choose my font colors. I'm shit at that kind of thing. We just decide that's the truth, like you're reporting the news, right? And when you actually break it all down into this loop, you start to see, actually, it's just a pattern of belief that I just kept on deciding was true. And it is, Finale, you're so right. I love that you're saying this in the chat. It's super soothing. Super soothing. Staying in that loop is great because it doesn't require anything from you. You're never putting yourself in the path of risk. And for us, as I love that, Paul, 6 P's of resistance are my blood type. I assure you, they're not. What I have found is that for us as coaches, as practitioners, we kind of get stuck in the Bermuda Triangle of self-doubt, right? So the kinds of patterns that we get stuck in are about waiting, right? I've got to wait until I know more or until I'm ready. I've got to be really likable. I can't ever say anything that puts a boundary in place. I've got to judge everybody else and myself to kind of protect me from ever being judged on the other side. Or I stay in confusion. I just keep telling myself I don't know enough or I don't know what to do. And I'm a bit scattered. And this is how we stay in that loop, you know, specifically to our work. And so what this can look like is when you're doubting yourself, you sort of get into these stories of, you know, can I actually do this? I can't put my needs first. I have to do this right. I can't commit or get organized or finish anything. Or we doubt our clients. Do they want this? Maybe they'll choose other coaches. My clients have really high expectations of me, or I don't even know who my clients are. Or we doubt our coaching. is this even helping? I don't know enough. My client's success is down to me. I can't deepen my body of work because it's so broad. Right? Just some examples of how these stories can become kind of like, oh, this is the thing that I have to just live with, or this is who I am, and there's no way out. We just get stuck in that Bermuda Triangle, what I'm calling the Bermuda Triangle. It's not actually a thing. So these are really common patterns. And I'm wondering, just to kind of keep everybody feeling reassured, is anyone noticing that there is a particular one that they're identifying with? You know, that those four, waiting, likability, judgment, confusion, is there a place you go when you are in that place of doubt? Please feel free to share in the chat. I know for me, it's definitely waiting. I get to that place of waiting, and confusion is a bit in there too. Like, it's just too hard. Yeah. we're the same, Despina. We're the same. Yeah. Yeah. I love that. I'm an equilateral triangle. Totally. Yeah. And so this is just really great to know that you're not alone. It's a totally understandable response to what's happening for you. And I am pretty convinced that cultivating our self-belief helps us to mature the whole industry, right? I think it's better for the whole industry if we kind of can get ourselves out of this. Because you can imagine, when you're out of that Bermuda Triangle, it means that we're coaching clean, right? We're sort of entanglement free, or at least minimizing our entanglements with clients. We're detached from their outcomes. We know what isn't coachable. We don't make that mean anything about us. And it means that we're more likely to just try stuff out, find a way of working that works for us, so that we can do really good work, right? I think it's super easy for us to kind of be in the bubble of other coaches, but a lot of humans, most humans, don't really get what coaching is. And, you know, as we're all, as a planet, coming out of the pandemic, and I know for some of you, we're still very much in it, but there has never been a greater demand for adults to try and make sense of their experience and create a life that works for them, right? It's like the nexus of this work is meeting a need in the world. And it's amazing to think that there is a huge demand for us if only we had the self-belief to show up for our people and do what we need to do. And for me, it's like every time I meet someone who says, oh my God, I worked with a coach and it was so good, I just feel like, oh, us, like, that's brilliant, right? Because they're going to tell their friends that they had a great experience. Those friends are also going to be looking for our work. This is a good thing. All I've seen over the last 12 years is steady growth, a demand for this work. We've got shit to do, folks. Anyway, thanks for coming to my TED talk. So let's talk about what we need to do here. So what I think is really important to recognize is that most of the mainstream understanding, of self-doubt says we need to put all of our energy into managing and controlling our resistance. Right? Here's five ways to hack your procrastination. Here's how to grab hold of your willpower. Stop being a perfectionist with this easy formula, right? These are the kinds of things we hear. What I have found is that we actually need to intervene much, much earlier. It's here, right? And this is where my research and my coaching work has really centered, is what's happening in between us contemplating the task and feeling that sense of alarm is that we have a sense of risk. And once we make sense of why is that risk so prevalent, like why is it stopping us? Why is it trying to protect us? When we can make peace with that and understand it, when we can try new things to really shift our evidence that this is who we are, that's when we have this really robust response to self-doubt, right? It's longer work, right? It's not a quick fix. But compassion is really, self-compassion is so, so key to it, right? We don't have to act as if we don't have it. We don't have to white knuckle our way through it or high vibe our way through it. It's about making that peace with those beliefs and behaviors, where they come from. Some of them are going to be decades old, nothing to do with the actual task you're contemplating. And when you understand what's happening, it's like, oh, here's self-doubt. Why does this make complete sense right now? Right? And this is how we shift our perspective and get out of the loop altogether. But that's kind of where my work is centered, is let's not get down to resistance, because by then it's way too late and we're not actually solving the root cause. We want to get you out of that loop altogether and in a way that feels really compassionate. So some things to really think about here. Nothing's gone wrong, right? You've got a built-in protection mechanism that's trying to keep you safe. Your self-doubt makes complete sense. You might just not be aware of why that's happening. And getting unstuck is about opening up to your healthy adult self, what I call your healthy adult self. The question I would really invite you to ask about your example that you've got for the self-doubt loop is what needs to be felt, acknowledged, or heard right now? And this is what this is the self-belief coaching model. So the healthy adult self is right in the middle, looking after that protective self-belief, that protective self-doubt. And so the healthy adult self has access to self-belief, self-acceptance, self-worth, and self-trust. And when those resources get activated and they're kind of not just concepts, but like lived experiences, then it means that your healthy adult self is going to be really, really present for you. And this isn't a magic bullet. I just want to share with you, this is what I found is really where the good work happens. So there isn't a magic bullet, right? But there are practices and ways of thinking about this that can really help. So this is what we want to do today, is give you a kind of roadmap for particularly accessing your self-trust, which is where a lot of this stuff comes up for us as coaches, okay? So what needs to be felt? I think I've got, here we go. What needs to be felt, acknowledged, or heard right now? Right, that's the real question to ask. And it's just like a quick way to kind of get into your healthy self. Yeah. So, how do we get out of this Bermuda Triangle? There's three steps. I know I bag the three easy steps. But this is what we're going to talk about today. Experimentation, evaluation, and evolution, right? The evolution is where your self-trust really comes to the fore. So experimentation and evaluation, they're the things that we're going to really play with here today. So what I want you to do is think about something you want to do in your business, right? Experimentation is about actively deciding to take some action. Smallest doable step totally counts, right? And then just checking in with your self-doubt alarm. Does this feel like something I could do? Offering yourself some compassion, like what needs to be felt, acknowledged, heard right now, and rewarding yourself when you take that step, right? These are how we kind of experiment. But what in your business needs to be experimented with right now? Like, what is your business looking for? Because then what we want to do is evaluate it. We want to celebrate the fact that you've taken some action and kind of evaluate, like, what do you want to change? What can you learn? Where are you tweaking this? What are you wondering about how you could do things differently or keep? Right? This is the process we're going to go through. And that leads to the evolution of practicing new beliefs, trying out new actions, treating everything in your work as an experiment, detaching from the outcomes. And that helps you to watch your comfort zone actually expand, right? There's none of this white knuckling it, life happens out of your comfort zone. You do not have to like shoot your nervous system to shit to take action. Well, what we want to do is actually expand your comfort zone so that it feels really good to take these actions. And this is how that sensitivity to the risk actually decreases. You can watch that decrease. Your self-doubt just has way less to do when you're feeling okay. All right. So please share in the chat what's an experiment you want to kind of play with, right? What's something, an action you could take in your business, in your work? And that's going to be like self-belief in action. We're going to find a way to kind of bring that to life for you very quickly this week. Might be just a part of the action you want to take. Amazing. With retreats, Amber, so you've already kind of seen this in action. This is brilliant. So please share, like, what is the thing that you want to do? What is it that your business is looking for you to you for right now? What does your business need you to do right now? What do your clients need from you right now? Right? These are great examples. But Amber's got this example with retreats, like just trusting in it in the process, making coaching connections, designing my website, putting myself on Instagram, writing up the why for my coaching clients, creating content to Insta. That doesn't feel trite. Yeah, I'm so with you, Helen. Great. So these are the kinds of experiments that are perfect for this process. So what I want to share with you is how you can bring this to life, how you can play with taking experiments and evaluating them in a way that just helps you to access your own self-trust, right? So that you can expand your comfort zone and your self-doubt has way less to do. All righty. So feel free to keep sharing. Oh, I love this from Joe. Creating blog posts, talk about what I do, what I believe in. Yeah, this is great. Perfect, perfect. Okay. So this is the kind of thing you want to be thinking about. Okay. Evaluation is where the magic really happens. So once you've chosen your experiment, evaluation is where we sink into self-trust. Okay. So this is how we get that self-trust activated. And this is what we're going to teach you today is an evaluation practice. Something you can take away with you and use wherever you like. This is really proven, a powerful self-reflection tool. It takes about 10 minutes, so it's not like a whole day out of your time. And you can use it after client sessions. You can use it as after you've taken actions in your business. You can use it as a weekly roundup, right? That's how I tend to use it these days. But this is the practice that we want to try out. So getting your self-trust activated. The reason that this process really works is because it grounds you in your own experience, right? You kind of access your own discernment, right? The part of you that has access to intuition and your intellect, the I words, this is core to self-trust. And it means that you're gaining some insight into your own practice, like how making sense of your own experience and how you make decisions from self-trust. Right? I think what tends to happen when we're feeling self-doubt is we often look to other people. Can you tell me I'm doing a good job? Or can you show me what to do? Tell me what to do, right? And self-trust is actually about that inner knowing that comes from your intellect, from your intuition. That deep awareness of your self-doubt patterns and stories are the key to evolving self-trust. And that's going to come from this process, from really looking at, after you've been doing this for a while, what am I noticing about this stupid story I've got that says I'm responsible for everybody else, right? So you get some real insight into that, those stories, those patterns. Okay, so I want you to consider a recent experiment. Where have you taken action in your work somewhere recently where self-doubt was present, right? So it could have been when you're with a client or some action in your business. Maybe if you're doing some training at the moment and or you took some action and then there was self-doubt came up. Maybe you were sharing something vulnerable with your coaching pals, or you started a project, you marketed an offer, right? All we want is just an example so that we can play with this process. Just write that down for yourself, a recent experiment you've taken. It might not have felt like an experiment. You might have been very wedded to the outcome. But just remember one recent action you've taken to do with your work where self-doubt popped up. And you want to draw a grid on your page like this. And the four different names for the grid are subjective, objective, analysis, and personal learning. So what this stands for is SOAP. It's the way to remember it. Okay, and we're going to go through these. So thinking about your thinking about your recent action that you took, the recent experiment, what was your subjective experience of that action? What did you think? What did you feel? What body sensations do you remember? And just write down whatever feels relevant for you. So you took some action, self-doubt was present. What was that like for you? What were you thinking? What were you feeling? Even the memory of it might reactivate those body sensations. Just jot down a few words for yourself. Just enough to bring it to life for you. Okay, we're going to move on to the next box, which is your objective evaluation. And an objective evaluation is kind of remembering the objective neutral facts of what you recall, right? So what did you say or do? And you want to phrase it in the most neutral way possible, right? What did other people say or do? What did you observe was happening? And this brings that subjective those subjective observations into a place of like, oh, okay, and what was actually going on? You start to see what we make these things mean. Is anyone seeing a real disconnect between their subjective experience and what they actually did? Like, I posted on Instagram, subjective experience. I was feeling completely out of my depth. I didn't really know what I was doing. Like, all that disproportionate kind of overwhelm can come in, right? Yeah. Okay. Hell yes. Totally different. Yeah. Cool. Right. That's amazing. Yeah. And that's often what can happen, right? This is a great process. Like when you have been coaching with a client, particularly, and this is where this work, I encourage people to really use this work, is after a coaching session that hasn't kind of gone that well, is the subjective experience can often be like, I felt completely anxious and I wasn't sure what was going on. And what actually happened was there was a 20-second pause while the client was thinking, right? And it's just really interesting to see how we're interpreting some neutral reality that's going on, right? What we make that mean, what our self-doubt does in those moments, right? Yeah, the pause, it's just completely the opposite. Great. Great thing to observe, right? So which one's true? Which one's true? Analysis, right? So given that subjective and objective information, what conclusions can you draw? Right? It went well in these ways and it could have been better in these ways. Keep it really simple language for you to, you know, kind of evaluate what's going on. And this is where you're bringing in that discernment, bringing in your intellect and your intuition. And did it go well in these ways? Oh, I felt like I kind of talked too much in that session. Or I felt uncomfortable that the client was, you know, displaying some emotions that I find a bit uncomfortable. So yeah, it could have been better in these ways. I could kind of reflect on that, reflect on how I'm going to show up differently. Notice how you're probably offering yourself some pretty neutral, even kind of compassionate or kind language around it went well in these ways, it could have been better in these ways. Right? So this is analysis, it's evaluation, it's not self-judgment. We're not trying to bully ourselves into a different way. Okay, and then the P of our soap is personal learning. And just with some honesty and compassion, like just consider what would help you grow. What would you like to get better at? What would you like to try next time? Maybe you genuinely don't really know how to work filters on Instagram. I'd like to get better at knowing that. I wonder if I can Google it. Right, without making it mean that something's gone horribly wrong. I wonder if I could get better. Someone was saying about selling a year-long program. So for something like that, I need to get better at describing the real value for the client. Like, why would you spend a year with me? I want to get better at that. Right. So it's all about just thinking about genuinely what would help you right now. What could you offer yourself? Loving watching you all right away. That's very cool. Lots of honesty and compassion coming out of this group. Loving it. Does anyone just want to share what that experience was like for you? Just to kind of think into your self-trust and offer yourself some evaluation. Please do share in the chat. I'd love to just hear what's that like. Just take a few moments to evaluate your experience. Yeah, perspective is a good word. Love that, Sophia. Yeah. Notice how it kind of just brings you back to yourself. Really nice way of moving through that, those viewpoints, looking at different lens through different lenses. Exactly. Feeling more grounded in the reality. Yeah, it gives you more choice. Perfect. Imagine if you do this, right? After every client session, after every time you take some action in your business, at the end of every week. Yeah, perfect. I'm just reading through your notes. Sorry, I'm going to read these out loud, otherwise it's just silence. Really helpful to take the time to notice all in my head, how I push through it. Yeah, so much was the pre-feeling buildup that caused cringe outcomes, okay? And that enabled me to access my wisdom. I actually have a next step to take. Started off with judgment, ended up with kindness. Everything I wrote was already in my head. I just wasn't allowing myself to know it. I love that, Paul. Yeah. This is self-trust, right? It's like, oh, I'm accessing my own wisdom. As Jolie's saying, the worst thing ever. I could just try to get better at this one little thing, right? And this is the thing to just know that it happens over a practice, right? You've activated your self-trust. Right. If you've gone through this exercise with us, you've activated your self-trust. And so building it, growing it, allowing it to kind of become a little loving companion with you is about practice. This is what helps you get out of the loop. Right. So as you're contemplating this thing, you get to decide, you get to make some choices. Oh, there's the self-doubt popping up again. Always happens when this risk is present. And that evolution where self-trust is your companion comes from practice. Right? So thinking about what do your clients need from you right now? What does your business need from you right now? Like, my encouragement to you is to choose an experiment relating to these things. To use that hashtag self-belief in action and to follow that hashtag, right? So you can cheer everybody on. And then you can, you know, see how this works for you as you start to practice it. I would love to know what kind of actions you're thinking about taking. Feel free to share. Players win prizes. So I'm going to be keeping an eye on the self-belief in action hashtag. And I'll just like randomly choose 5 people and we'll have a little back and forth and I'll send you a book that will help you in your particular practice, depending on what you're doing. I'm loving this. Okay, so I'm just going to look at the chat here. Yeah, amazing. Seeing how important it is to action the contemplate to alarm stage. Yeah. Taking action is where it's at. That's the real key, right? That's the last thing. I'm just gonna come back to the evolution-y stuff. So it's really about making that connection. I think the real magic happens when you can make that connection between experimenting and then evaluating. Right, so really committing to taking actions. One of the things I really encourage people is to take actions that feel really okay, right? Feels like the smallest, most doable action. It's much better to say if you're organizing a workshop, right? the actions would be things like decide on the title, decide on the content, maybe set up the page to share it and then share it with other people, right? Like taking those very small steps. It might be it takes you just kind of 10 steps to get to sharing the workshop, but that's amazing because you're doing it. So notice if you have any resistance to the experiments that you're about to take. And it usually means that the action is just a bit big. Your self-doubt's getting activated. So break it down into a few different steps. Choose the thing you feel courageous enough to try out. And evaluate everything you're doing, especially when self-doubt is present. It means that you're really starting to activate your self-trust in a way that's very real for you, because you're literally coming back to your own wisdom, your own knowledge, your own perspective. Amazing, Finella, that sounds so good. Creating a creative session about where you go next and what your clients have asked for. So this is a great thing to bring with you as you experiment with that. Amazing. Very, very cool. So I just want to stop the share there for a second. Who has questions or comments they want to make? Anything that isn't clear to you, anything you want to share with what that was like for you, please feel free to share those in the chat. I am absolutely here for all of it. What might stop you? How might your self-doubt show up for those experiments? Please feel free to ask any questions you have. So one thing I just wanted to let you know, like I said earlier, this is a taster for the Self-Belief Coaching Academy. I wanted to give everyone like a kind of like a bonus, like a you've come to this thing, let me do something kind. So my coach, Ali Swift, and Vanessa, who is our social media manager, are going to be coming along to the academy and offering these bonus business builder sessions where we'll have an hour, 90 minutes with each of them, specifically to talk about like strategy and marketing and mindset, which is Ali's real gifts. And Vanessa is all about like so sharing a compelling message for your people. So for anyone who has signed up for this workshop, if you join the Self-Belief Coaching Academy for the autumn class, I just wanted to let you know that these are these lovely additions that are coming along. So if you've got stuff in the back of your mind where you're like, oh, I'm not sure how to create a strategy that feels really good for my practice, or social media is totally blowing my mind, like I'm going to get you access to two best of breed people that you really, I think both of them are booked solid. So it's a great opportunity to have this opportunity to work with Ali and Vanessa. So just to know that that is available to you. Okay, so I've got some last questions in here from Jody. How do you tackle the not knowing where to begin brain fog coupled with, oh, this other thing needs doing first distraction technique? Okay, so yeah, Jody, I love that. It sounds like you've got multiple resistance going on here, right? And I think really the best way to do this is to get clear in your own mind about what's involved, right? And that can start by looking a little bit chaotic, right? I know for me, if I'm starting a project, I tend to just brainstorm all of the things that I know I'm going to need to do before I put it into any kind of order. When you're putting things into order, and one of the things we look at in SBCA is how to use this technique that I call courage-based planning, where you actually order the tasks for any project in the order of how doable it feels, right? So you start off with what feels really easy and then move out to, you know, what you've got no bloody idea how to do. And the idea is that you can really start to break down any resistances by doing the easy stuff to get some momentum. And then that helps you to kind of grow your comfort zone. It's another way of doing that. So just know that you, from what you're describing, Jodi, you have quite a sophisticated protector, right? Your self-doubt's quite sophisticated in that it's using these different distraction techniques. So one way to look at it is, you know, what are all of the actions I can take and how easy do those things feel, and put them in that order. And the other thing to think about is, how does my self-doubt make complete sense, right? Like, what needs to be acknowledged or felt or heard right now before I feel ready to sort of start with this process, okay? How do you navigate perfectionism in the analysis stage? You're so welcome, Jodi. For now, that's a great question. So I think that the thing to really think about is, what is the purpose that perfectionism is serving? Right, so you're in an analysis stage, right? You're looking at what objectively happened, what subjectively happened. What purpose is perfectionism serving? Are you trying to like judge yourself or say that something should have gone perfectly? Why does that matter to you? Right, what difference would that have made? So I think just being curious about the purpose that your perfectionism is serving at that stage is going to help you to kind of intervene and interrupt it. It's like, oh, maybe I don't need to be perfect in that place. What else could I be? Feel free to share like what specifically might be showing up, because I can probably give more what kind of perfectionism you're talking about. Like, is it about something you should have done differently or better? That's often how perfectionism shows up. It's a fantasy, right? Perfect doesn't exist. And I think when we are in that place of evaluating, the thing has already happened. So perfectionism is truly a fantasy because we're just arguing with reality. So looking at what is the purpose that perfectionism is serving me in this moment? And do I want to keep that? Okay, any other questions that folks have? Yeah, needing to be the ideal coach. Oh yeah. I'm so with you, Fenella. There's so much pressure to be that, right? To be the perfect coach, the good coach. With the perfect practice, right? And it's an impossible standard. Like, and it doesn't really help you or your clients. What I found is that this comes up when we think, if I'm perfect, I'll be safe, right? If I'm perfect, I'll be safe from those risks that we talked about. So have a little think about, which of the risks are you trying to protect yourself from? Yeah. I love this. And Serena, you're offering the other side of it, right? My fear is that as a coach, what if I'm full of bullshit? Yeah. That sense of being a fraud. Horrible, right? And so part of this is about, I really think any session you're having where that's coming up for you, Serena, it looks like Fenella, that's a mirror for you too. Is to use the SOAP process to really evaluate it, because that is also a protection technique, right? That's also a way that self-doubt says, don't do that, you might hurt yourself. So what is that belief protecting you from? What's the risk that you're holding yourself back for? What if you believed, actually, I'm pretty good at this? What might that bring up for you? Right. This is why we need each other, right? Because we all believe these crazy things. Yeah, and it's mad. It's absolutely mad. When I went through this, it was like at least 80 minutes. So I'm shocked that it's only 11:05. But I just wanted to let you know, like, if you have any questions that come up, we're going to send out the replay in a couple of hours for you. And we'll also give you like a reference guide for what we went through today. But if you have any questions or you're like, I'm playing with the soap guide that we did in that masterclass 3 months ago, please just get in touch. I'm going nowhere. So we're connected now. You can't get rid of me. But if you want to ask questions or you have anything that comes up, please get in touch. And really do, like, decide what action you're going to take. Use the self-belief in action hashtag and just experiment. Right. And remember, when we're experimenting, we're doing it to see what happens, right? It's not about being attached to an outcome. We're just seeing what happens. So do the thing that feels like the safest and most fun for you. And feel free to take a photo of whatever you're doing, post it so we can all cheer you on from the sidelines. And yeah, Joe, I know when I started talking about self-doubt as a coach and everyone was like, oh, me too, but no one's talking about this, I was like, I have found my people. So yeah, I'm so with you. And I think that's one of the things I'm so excited about with the community of coaches that are coming through the academy, is that we're now all connected and we have monthly calls long after the curriculum, so that, you know, we can all kind of take comfort in each other's experiences and keep learning and keep growing. So thank you so much, everybody. I'm just absolutely thrilled to see you all and to be connected with you. And yeah, I'm really excited to see what comes of this for you. So thanks, everybody. Have a wonderful, wonderful day. And I'll be in touch over email with this. Oh my goodness, thank you so much for all your kind messages. That's beautiful. Yeah, amazing. Yeah, I can't wait for you to get started too, Paul. Thank you. All right, everybody, have a great day. It's lovely to meet you all. Take care. Bye, bye, bye.